All right. What a effing world. And I say that after having spent 50 years on this mortal coil. I have, if I was in any position to pass judgment on this particular society, this species, this world, this thing that we call the world, which it is not, I would have to say guilty. Guilty as fuck. We are, at best, building a society that its sole determination is the death and destruction of every member of the species. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. But first, let me grab a thing of water.
Just talk quietly amongst yourselves for a moment. I shall return fairly quickly because I was
at least halfway prepared for this. This thing I call a podcast. And by the way, my name is Mike. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. And this is a photography podcast where we rarely talk about photography. It's really just from a photographer's point of view, and who better to look to get perspective on this species, if that's what you can call it, than someone whose job it is to see. Oh, excuse me. It is well and far beyond my ability as a human being to comprehend the ability of any one person on this planet to see beyond the fact that they are also human. And there should be a common goal. But see, that's the thing. There is no common goal here. We're not working together for something. And on that note, know that, and mark my words. The United States of America, like any other empire, will fall. And before that fall, this ship will divide in two. This will be a land of two countries at some point in the near future. Not necessarily in my lifetime, but in the near future. We don't see how awful this is. Take, for instance, our cities. There's no reason for us to be living in these cities. Zero reason. With the level of technology and ability that we have today, there should be 5 acres of land for every human being, which there is actually enough. And then we should be able to do our jobs from wherever we are. But see, that's not the point. The point isn't the job. The point is pushing that stone back up the mountain in their office building. If it was about survival, if it was about creating, if it was about extending our lifespan as a species, then we would be doing things very vastly differently. But that's not the case. The case is to destroy. And something that, and I see stuff as an observer. And one solution that I've come up with is that we are, very ironically, documenting the last days of our species. You know how hieroglyphs kind of stuck around and gave us an idea, and then there was a Rosetta Stone that gave them a key to understand the hieroglyphs, a back-engineered key? That's what we're doing with these cell phones. The cell phone is our hieroglyph, the last epitaph of our species. And I'm not going to say that, because I think there will be others that survive. I believe that's kind of the goal. One branch of our species wants the rest of the branch subserviated and or dead. Why else would we be building such a detrimental environment for ourselves? And that's what we're doing. Everything's covered in paint. Everything's covered in oil. Everything's full of sugar. And everything's made of something that just the mere process of producing it is fatal to anyone near it. Nuclear power, plastics, lithium batteries, cell phones, glass, paints, lubricants, everything, even Teflon, what we cook on, is designed to both kill and kill. To kill the people that are physically making it, and to kill the people who are using it to consume the food that is jam-packed with everything that it shouldn't be. Me and my son were out flying a kite the other day, and I told him about dandelion tea. A lady on TikTok made tea from dandelions. And he said, really? I said, yeah, you can make tea from them. You can eat them. They're edible. You want to rinse them off because some coyote probably peed on it. But yeah, a cow pees on the grass, which is where the potatoes grow. So, you know, animal pee is normal for us, kid. So he says, really? And we grab a couple of them. After we finish flying a kite, we take them in the house, boil them in water. It was the first time I had ever done it. I had no idea if it was actually true, and I had never done it before. But I was going to feed it to my child, because how much worse would a dandelion growing in a field be than the fish, the shrimp that we routinely eat that is full of God knows what? They're already finding microplastics in human bloodstreams. So if they're finding microplastic in 20 or 30 humans, that means it's about 20 to 30 million humans that actually have it. So chances are we all have plastics in our microplastics in our bloodstreams. So what are you going to do? I give this kid the tea and he says to me, well, how come... You know, he's talking about how it's free and so forth and so on. I said, well, that's how life works. The water that falls from the sky makes food grow out of the ground, the dirt and earth that's free, and we found a way to put a monetary value on a free commodity. He didn't understand what I just said, so I broke it down to him so a 12-year-old could understand. And he goes, well, he understood, but he knew that it didn't make any sense. It did not make any sense to a 12-year-old that is operating below the age of a 12-year-old. It did not make sense. Well, what are you going to do? I don't think, in my infinite wisdom, that there is a way to stop this process. I don't think it's our place to stop this process. I believe this is something that has to happen, unfortunately. Something that is almost necessary. Excuse me. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, not to get too religious on you here, but the word Armageddon, Harmageddio, is not what we've made it out to be. And there is good reason that it's the last part of that book. It is, the literal translation is closer to start-finish line. Like a race, like a marathon, like a car race, like a motorcycle race. The start-finish line is both the end and the beginning. So that's why we are pumped full of this idea of the end of the world, the end of the world. The world, and this is a direct quote, the world is not going anywhere, comma, we are, end quote. There is no, this world has survived volcanoes, collisions with other planets, the dinosaurs, probably countless bacterial annihilations, because they far outnumber us. So to have some microbial mycelial apocalypse happen almost on a routine basis in the billions of years that we don't even know how long this planet has been around, then please, Mr. Tyson, don't play. We have no clue. We have zero clue what the origins of this, whatever this is, that we are in. We have no idea. None of us were there. We have only been here for the blink of a galactic eye. And we are so less important than we think we are. And to think that we are so important, that we are so apex, that somehow we matter to this cycle. You don't understand. The cycle, and I'll just refer to it as Mother Earth, the cycle has done away with far more than we ever were. Civilizations that we don't even know were here. When they were doing their research about the glacial shifting and the moving, they discovered here just recently in the last 5 years that the movement of the ice and the contact and sliding of the continental plates and the movement of that ice across that could 100% erase a civilization. Erase to the point where we could be walking right on top of them or where they were and have no clue. And to think that that couldn't happen to us is, ugh. And then the way we, you know, bringing it back to now, the way that we are working towards our own destruction. Follow me on this and tell me that we are working towards a good goal. We have spent the last 45 years indoctrinating our own children. And I'll just bring up two of my favorite examples. With Tupac and Scarface. Don't get me wrong. I respect Tupac as an artist, and I think as an activist, he had some weight there, but even more so as a human being, what a lot of these folks don't understand, these people that are wearing his t-shirt still to this day, is that he was a confused human being. That's why we loved him. The people that were there in the beginning when he was alive, when he was with Digital Underground, when he was doing parties at Eatontown Roller Skating Rink, to hear him speak and know that his mom's was in the Black Panthers And to know that he was just as confused and fucking angry as we were is mind-blowingly romantic to us. Because someone who made it up that high literally knows what we know. That the goal is to kill us. The goal of the American, of the United States is to kill us. We group them together sometimes. But the Americas are not America. And America is not the United States. Three different entities. That includes Canada, South America, Central America, you know, and Northern America. These are the Americas, which really isn't their real name in the first place. But Tupac understood what the deal was, and that's why we loved him. But then to see the Hispanic community, now that I'm in the Southwest of the United States, to see the Hispanic community idolize, in a really bad way, idolize this young man who has now been dead for probably over 30 years. And then to take his emotion and twist it, literally twist it into what they want it to be. Because it's not about Tupac. It's not about what his mother or he believed. It's about putting his name on a t-shirt so when we go to kill somebody, we can take the bad side of what he said, which we all feel that way. Because every black man in America, and if you're going to idolize Tupac, you're going to have to idolize the rest of us too. Every black man in America has that feeling that I feel like wilding out. But some of us have better control over it. And Tupac did. He had better control over it. And I know people who had far less control over it. But we have indoctrinated our children with what we think Tupac says. What we think Tupac, and I'm saying we as a society, not we as in the black men that grew up around him. That grew up seeing him going in and out of DMC's recording studio in Queens. So that is when I say we as a species. And now we have little kids idolizing him, playing his Dear Mama song because they feel sad about their mama, or they think that they do. But then only taking the part of him that fits the drive-by murder that they're about to do, the push-in murder that they're about to do, the weed that they're about to smoke, the fight that they're about to get into. There's nothing good about that. There's nothing good about that. But we think it is. And we've indoctrinated almost two generations of children to believe that that's okay. And it's not. It absolutely, unequivocally is not okay. Not to mention, even if Tupac was here today, he would say, where's the next Tupac? Where's the better Tupac? Because even Tupac would say to you, to your face, now is time to take the next step up. We've been stuck on this one step with Tupac. But we twisted that step to fit the illegal activity that we're doing and put his name and face on a shirt because, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. Or maybe I'm not. Maybe we're idolizing Scarface, which before I even get into that, I'm going to tell you what the truth is about any Scarface. Scarface was a fuck up. And all these movies that you're idolizing the fuck-ups. I grew up in Jersey, and I saw all of this firsthand. When you get involved in those situations, and you are that careless, for someone that careless and foolish to make it up that high is exceedingly rare. They would have bumped him off years before he made it that big. Years. Because the people who were actually in control would have seen that coming a mile away, and they would have nipped it in the bud. They would have 100% nipped whatever his name was in the bud. Excuse me. And they would have seen right away that he's fucking stupid. Yeah, he's fucking stupid. He doesn't have the IQ to run anything. He's chasing after these women. He's got coke in his home, which is, you know, kind of the thing nowadays. The dumb drug dealer is the norm nowadays. But we've taught our kids to idolize not only that, but that lifestyle. Being a fuck-up, going out in a blaze of glory, that's not how it works. I was there in Jersey, and I'm sure there were people in Miami who had similar experiences. And Chicago. Capone was a fucking genius. An evil genius. And he would never have tolerated that bullshit. But we're teaching our kids to wear his shirt and idolize him and get that blanket and put it on a wall in your room. And when, in my experience in New Jersey, when something got out of hand, it was nipped in the bud. Quickly. And there was, it never, ever, ever went as far as Goodfellas or as far as Scarface. And I haven't seen The Sopranos yet, but, you know, I would assume that there's probably some truth and not truth to that too. But growing up around these people, the Chickalese family, the Vanvis family, there's a bunch of families. I went to school with their kids. I went over their houses. I ate that big ass pasta things. I ate over their houses because I was friends with, I went to school with their kids at Long Branch High School, and they were fun. I used to surf with them. They were fun. And in the home, there was never, ever any business. When we were kids, and kids know when something's wrong. And we had a great time. The only time there was conflict is when the boy, whoever the boy was I was friends with, did something that his mom didn't like. Tracked a bunch of mud in the house or left the refrigerator door open or something. And she would start yelling. And he would yell back at his mom, which was weird because I didn't know you could yell back at your mom. I was a black kid and we didn't do that. We didn't yell back at anybody in the house. No, it's not in a black house. But it was weird to see Tommy yell back at his mom. And, you know, and he had a big ass room, and the whole attic of his house was his room. And, you know, I was like, wow, this is nice. But we had a great time. I worked for them. I was a short order cook at a breakfast place. None of that happened. A guy would come in. I'd be making breakfast for whoever came in, and it was in the hood, so it would be all my friends from school. Mike, make me an egg sandwich, and you know I'd be back there cooking, and some guy would come in, you know, once or twice a month, and Jim would give him a brown paper bag. They would talk. They would jaw for a minute or two. Hey, nice to see you, so forth and so on. Blah blah blah. And then he would leave with the paper bag. And I would keep my fucking mouth shut. And I would keep my back turned. And I wouldn't look at him. Because I don't want to know what he looks like. But do you know how Jim died? Jim died of a fucking broken heart. Because him and his wife, who had been together for fucking ever, she passed away. And you know when he passed away? 2 weeks later. He went to go see her. And you know how, you know when he had a dog, you know when the dog died? A week or two after that. You know what he drove? An old panel C something Chevy van with 2 seats in it for him and his wife. And that's all he needed. That was as much as ever happened in front of me. That was both good and bad. And when you didn't see somebody anymore, you knew something had happened. And that was the real life of it. But then again, that doesn't make for good Hollywood now, does it? So that goes to show you that when you're ironing your Scarface and your Goodfellas and you're listening to Tupac, this is not reality. Not for them. Certainly not for us. And we were there. We were literally there. You know, when someone got shot or someone got hurt, it wasn't long before you found out, and you knew before the news knew. And that was life in Jersey. And you don't understand how close Jersey was to everything. Everything. Because nobody lives in New York. Not in the city. Everybody's got family in Jersey. Everybody has to come to Jersey to see grandma. Red Man, Method Man, all of them got family, some kind of cousin or somebody in Jersey. And they'd have to come out for the family reunion. That's how it was in the beginning. But maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. So when I see on TikTok some young kid, 23 years old, mouthing the words to some gangster movie or some gangster video game and then putting on a fake-ass gold necklace, I don't know. I see the end of the story in his eyes. His job is to go out and kill as many as he can before he gets killed. That's our goal. That's what we want, right? We want to kill as many as we can while we're here for any reason. They cut you off in traffic. They look at you the wrong way at the store. You think they said something about your girlfriend. You know, just whatever you can make up. And the closer I get to not being on this planet anymore. I'm 50-something years old. At best, I got 20 years on this rock. At best. 20 years left in a country that wants me dead anyways. So the closer I get to that start-finish line, the more I start to see how this really plays out. And in this case, it's a big change. And if you think I'm crazy, you think I'm out of my mind, know this. 15,000 years ago, documented, there were multiple species of humans. Homo erectus, Homo sapien, the Cro-Magnon guys. They were all around. You would see more of them around. And there was way more than the two or three you see in a display in a museum. I'll give you a clue. There were 150 million Native Americans in America, in the United States of America, before anybody else showed up. 150 million. They're 350 million now. So half as many still here. So imagine how many unrestricted, with no condom, no abortion, species of man running around in North America. A lot. And then something happened. We don't know what, and we will never know because we were not there, and no, anybody who was there is not telling us what actually happened. Something happened where those multiple species of human being were offed. Gone. This we do know. Here today, 2022, there is one species of man, we think. And I think that's changing too. But something happened that got rid of the rest of them, and only one survived, us. And to think that it can't happen again, to think that it's not happening right now, is foolish. And I think within my last 20 years on this rock, there will be the beginnings of a very big change. It won't be in my lifetime. I'll be long dead. But there will be the beginnings of a very, very big change. And we'll see. We'll see if I'm crazy or if I am 100% correct or even 50% correct. Either way, I thank you for tuning in and listening to me tell you the pieces of the puzzle that I see. I can't put the whole thing together yet, but I got a pretty good idea where the clouds are in this puzzle. And thank you for listening to me. I appreciate you tuning in. You guys are the best. I don't know how many listeners I got. Even if it's just one, thank you for tuning in. I still don't even know how to get paid from this stupid podcast. And I don't know how to check the numbers or anything. I guess I should learn how to do that. There might be $1 million sitting waiting for me. I kind of doubt that. I don't advertise. But thank you for tuning in. Thank you for giving me a moment of your time. Try and keep your genetic line alive. That's about all we can do. And I will talk to you next time. You have a great night.